Our scripture passage for this morning, it comes out of the book of Exodus, the Old Testament again, chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 8 to 11. This is actually, of the Ten Commandments, the longest one. This has the most words in it. So Exodus 20, 8 through 11, this is what we read there. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in six days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're continuing to look at the Ten Commandments this morning. And as we begin, I want to just remind you of something that we've been saying every week, basically, that we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, is we got to remember their place, right? We got to remember the context. These are not commandments that are given to us so that if we're good enough, God will love us. These are not commandments that are given to us to show that we love God more than anybody else. These commandments are given to us to teach us how to live in freedom. The people of Israel at this point have been rescued from slavery in Egypt. They have been saved by God's amazing grace. And they have been forgiven and washed by going through the waters, so to speak. So they've been rescued from Egypt, and now they're out in the desert, and now they have to live as free people. And so the question is, how do we live free? And God gives them these gifts, these 10 words, to say, this is how you can live and enjoy life to the fullest. This is how you can have a great life. And I think it's especially important for us to remember that when we come to this one. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Because for a number of us, I don't know what percentages would be, right? But for a number of us, the Sabbath day was not a good day to remember. The Sabbath day was not something that we necessarily thought was a day of great joy and celebration and goodness. It didn't feel like a gift. Sometimes it felt like a heavy burden. So let's think about that. Let's think about, what does it mean? What is God calling us to here when he tells us to remember the Sabbath day? We're going to do this by asking the same three questions we've been asking through the series. What is the commandment calling us to? What is it talking about? And then second, why? Why does God, why does God give us this commandment? And then third, we'll ask, all right, how do we live out this commandment? How can we grow in that? But the first one, what do we do with this commandment? What is God calling us to do? Well, if we look at it, the commandment is basically in verse 8, right? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, obviously, remember means more than just call to mind, right? If you're married, you know that your spouse, if you say, well, I remembered our anniversary, I thought about it. No, that's not remembering your anniversary, right? You got to do something with it. You got to act on it. Remembering involves acting in this case. In fact, in Deuteronomy 5, where Moses gives the Ten Commandments again, he uses the word observe. Sometimes it's translated keep. So remember, keep, observe the Sabbath day. All right, what's the Sabbath day? Well, there's a good question for you, and we're not going to take a lot of time on it. For the Jewish people, for the people of Israel, in those days, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was Saturday, Shabbat, the day at the end of the week. All right, that was what it was for them. And some Christians say that's what it should be for us as well. Most Christians say, no, it's the Lord's day is now Sunday. That's the day of rest. That's the day of renewal. That's the day of refreshment. That's more of the Sabbath day. I don't want to get into that debate because I think in the New Testament we're actually free to make it any one of the seven. For some of you, you have to work on Sundays regularly. That doesn't work. You have to work on Saturdays regularly. That doesn't. I don't think God says there's anything magic about this certain day. It's more about a rhythm. It's more about recognizing that we need to have some time in our life that's down, that's not working, that's not doing everything else. And so exactly what day it is, I'm not going to get all excited about that. But I am going to say we need that rhythm. And so we remember the Sabbath day by what? By keeping it holy. And when we talk about things being holy, what we've said here consistently is that for something to be holy, it needs to be set apart. It needs to be different, unique, unusual. It needs to be set apart, but it also needs to be available to God. And that's what it means to make something holy, to set it apart and make it available to God. So what we get out of this is that one day in seven is to be holy. It's to be set apart for God. But what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we do that? What is this commandment, again, coming back to that, what is this commandment calling us to? I'm going to spend most of my time this morning on this part of the sermon, okay? The second two parts, the why and the how, are going to go fairly quickly, I hope. But this first part is where I want to spend some time, because I think this is where we kind of struggle with saying, okay, what is this really talking about? How do we really do this? We saw from that video, you know, that people have different rules, different ways of doing this. And I want to suggest that for us to really receive the Sabbath as a gift, there are four parts that we have to have of it. There are four parts of making the Sabbath holy. And I want to suggest that for many of us, we don't have these in the right balance. And we need to think about that. And so that's really what the is recognizing this gift and recognizing it takes these four parts. Now, the first part is the one we're probably most familiar with. Part of it is stop working, right? Stop working. God says this. Hold on. God's, no, I didn't say you stop working. You keep working. Are we? Do we need to reset it all? All right, so I'll do this as best I can. Jenna will catch up with us when we can. So stop working. I mean, the commandment says, 6 days shall you labor and do all of your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath day to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work. Right? You shall not do any work. So stop working. Now, for all of us here this morning, we probably don't realize what a strange deal that was. Think about what it was like, though, for the Israelites. Just stop and think about it, because where were they? They were in Egypt, right? And they were slaves. And you know what that meant? That meant they had no days off. They never had a weekend. They never had vacation days. For the people of Israel, it was always working. It was always doing something. It was always going somewhere. Are we back? Can I, let's see if I can do it again here. Yeah, there we are. Stop working. So in Egypt, they had no weekends, no days off, no vacation days, none of that. And so you can imagine it. They come out of Egypt, and God says, okay, here are the rules. Okay, here we go, the rules. No other gods, no graven images, don't take my name in vain, and make sure you take one day a week off. Imagine what that's like if you've never had a day off. Like, we're so used to a culture in which everybody gets at least 2 days off most of the time, right? Some of us might work 6 days a week, but a lot of us work 5 days a week, and so it doesn't seem that great. But imagine having worked 7 days a week. As far as we can tell, there was nothing like a Sabbath in Egypt. Nothing like it there. And so for them to get out here, and God said, now here's one of my rules, take a day off. Cool. Right? And that, I mean, that's, God says, yeah, you need to do this. That's why it's part of that gift. It's to say, don't just keep running around. Just don't keep working. Don't keep doing all of that. 6 days you're to work, but on the seventh day you're to take a rest. They had a little flavor of this with what was called manna. All right? Some of you are familiar with that. But when the people left Israel, or Egypt, they're out in the desert, and God fed them with this stuff called manna. Every morning, they could go out and they could gather enough for that day. It was a bread-like thing that came every morning. So they'd go out and they'd gather it. And they did this 6 days in a row. But on the seventh day, God says, no, it's a day of rest. You don't have to go work. You don't have to go gather it. Just stay home. And so there was always enough for only one day, except for on the sixth day. On the sixth day, they got double, so that they could just relax on the seventh day. 6 days you are to gather it, Exodus 16 here, you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. So the people rested on the seventh day. So they've already kind of had this pattern going, and God is saying, I want this to continue to go. I want you to stop working 1 day in seven. I want you to set that aside 1 day in seven and just rest and relax and come to worship me. And so part of it is stopping to work, is stop working, all right? That's part of what we do. But, and this is where this is going to get much more interesting, okay? Nothing really special there. But you see, what happens is we take these commandments and we start to say, okay, they're really there to show how much I love God. Okay, so then I have to ask a very key question. If they're there to show how much I love God and show how much better I am than all these people here, I have to ask this key question, and this has been asked for a long time. What exactly is work? Okay, I'm supposed to stop working, but what exactly is work? How much can I do? And in some ways, by asking this question, we're missing the point. because we've turned it into a legalistic sort of thing that says, okay, I want to be able to know exactly what's in bounds. It's going to depend. I'll just tell you right now, it's going to depend. The first thing that most of us probably think about are the jobs that we get paid for, right? That's the work, and that's included in this, certainly. We have jobs, we get paid for them to say, you know, one day a week, you need to do that. God says, you're going to just burn out. You're going to just get destroyed, get messed up if you don't have a rhythm of rest, if you don't take a break from your job. Now, here's a really interesting one. What about students and homework? I mean, seriously, this is probably the one I struggled with the most when I was in college, because on the one hand, I was thinking, look, this is my job right now to study. But I couldn't afford to take a day off and not study. I mean, people did tests on my, but I wonder sometimes. And you'll notice I have a question mark there. On a lot of these, I'm going to have question marks. Because it's going to depend on saying, well, what is homework for you? How does that work? How does it fit in with everything else? I don't want to make legalistic rules, but it's interesting to stop and to say, because in some ways for me, And I'm a sinner, so I'd probably do it exactly like I did. I studied a lot on Sunday. That was just the deal, okay? But it would have been an amazing act of faith to say, God, my getting an A on that test tomorrow is not what holds the world together. Your grace does. So I'm going to just relax. I'm not going to study. I don't think my faith was strong enough at the time to do that. Now, I was still legalistic enough that what I would do is because, you know, the church twice on Sunday thing, so I would go to two services in the morning. I'd go to, in different churches, but I'd go to two services in the morning so I could check both those boxes, and then I could study all the rest of the day because I'd done my Sabbath. Again, that's not the way we're supposed to be thinking about it. So there's a whole jobs we get paid for, but you got to start thinking as well about what about chores and housework? I mean, in some ways, gathering manna falls under that. And so sometimes God says, hey, don't do your chores. Don't do your housework on Sunday. Kids, don't get too excited. Mom and Dad will decide. Okay, I'm not saying that that's the way it has to be. But I think we got to ask ourselves, what about cutting the grass? What about gardening? And again, I'm not going to make a rule for you. It depends on what it is to you. Some of us love to cut the grass. Some of us really do. I mean, I know people who love to do that. And for them, it's not a chore. It's fun. And so in that case, it might be just fine because it wouldn't qualify then as working. What about washing the car? What about making a meal? Again, it's so hard. When we get legalistic about things, we get really inconsistent, right? Because it's like nobody can work on Sunday except for mom, who has to put together a 10-course meal and then wash all the dishes, right? And it's like, yeah, dad, you're a holy leader of your family. You're sitting on your chair while mom is working her tail off. Now, maybe mom loves to cook and it's a joy, it's a gift, okay, but... sometimes those things are work, and I think God might be saying to us, good night, open up a can of soup. Buy a salad the day before. Maybe even go out to eat. We'll come back to that. I should have said to stop the video. Anyway, so chores, housework, all of that kind of stuff. What about, so we get the jobs, we get the chores, housework. But then again, you start to say, but what about some other things? Because there are other things we kind of do that can seem like work. We sweat. I mean, is that what it is? Is when we sweat, we're working? And so exerting energy, is that kind of, there are a number of folks who would say, yeah, it's zero energy. Anything you do. And so if you go to some very Orthodox Jewish homes, they will not turn lights on and off on the Sabbath because that's work, to make the light go on and to make the light go off. That's work. I'll tell you something, if you're ever going to be in Jerusalem, don't be there on the Shabbat, on Sabbath, because a number of the hotels, if you're like on the 30th floor, you know what they do in Jerusalem with many of these places in Orthodox areas is that the elevator stops at every floor. It's just programmed to on Sunday. So if you got to go to the 30th floor, you're stopping at every other one on the way. Because pushing a button on the elevator is too much work. You say, well, that's crazy, but there's a place where it does get too far. I think this is part of, for some people, swimming was something that was a no-no, maybe is still, that's fine. If you say, no, not choosing not to swim, it helps me have a better Sabbath, then don't swim. What about walking too far? Or what about driving too far? And here's, again, what happens is, for some of you, driving for 10 hours can be just a joy. I know some of you who would spend, get done with worship and go and drive up past the bridge and drive back, and that would be a beautiful, celebrative, joy-filled Sabbath. It would not be that for me. There's a place where if I'm driving just to accomplish something. And so that's why in all of these things, I want us to be thinking about, why am I doing this? What's the purpose? And what's the purpose of the Sabbath, okay? Exerting energy, and then a big one, and again, I think it got mentioned in there, but you don't make anybody else work on Sunday, right, or on Sabbath day. And so, and the commandment includes something about this. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. All right, so don't even make your animals work. We live in a culture where, for the most part, everybody gets a day off. It doesn't have to be the same one. So for me, I think, okay, I'm not necessarily making somebody else work on their Sabbath if they can find it on another day. So does this mean we shouldn't go out to eat, no going to movies, no going to the store, because we're making somebody else work? I want to be sensitive to being too much of that, but I also want to say, again, my Sabbath is not my only Sabbath time today. Nurses work on the Sabbath, on the Sunday, whatever day it is. And so, I want to be sensitive to that, but I also don't, we don't all take the same day, and I don't want to make too many legalistic rules, but all of this falls under stopping, and so many of us have struggled so much with trying to figure out, what does it mean to stop working? Part of the problem is, again, if that's all we focus on, for some of us, that's all we would remember from growing up. It was just a day where we couldn't do anything. It was just a day where we stopped. So that's part of it. We do need to stop working. That's part of what's included. But we also rest, the second thing. Stop, and then second, we rest. The Hebrew word Shabbat, Sabbath, means, first of all, stop, and secondly, it means rest, okay? And so we take time to slow down, to let our souls catch up with our bodies. Many of us during a work week are running around and we got so many things done, so we take some time. God says, just slow down. You don't have to keep producing today. You don't have to get a lot of things done today. You don't have to get anything done today. Just relax and let your spirit catch up to you. Exodus 23, a little bit further on, God says, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and your John Deere tractor, whatever it is. I mean, to say, let these things, we need time to rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. We were created by God to live in a rhythm of work and rest. We were not created to work every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours. You were not created that way. It's not good. It messes us up if we try to do that. God created us to rest. And that's part of why, and the older I get, the more I appreciate this, but naps are wonderful things on Sabbaths. In fact, please don't call me between, say, 3 and 4 today, because I got one scheduled right there. I will be hopefully lights out and just resting and catching up. I think this is where some of the things came in of saying, well, no hiking or no biking or no rowing. I always thought it was interesting. Some people could take out the rowboat, but not the speedboat. And I thought, it's an awful lot easier to drive a speedboat than row a boat. I don't know if you thought about this much, but just to rest. And so again, at what point does it cross over into work? You got to know. I can't tell you that. Going to the stores, it's like, one of the questions I'll ask myself is, am I doing this so that I don't have to go tomorrow? Am I doing this so that I can work harder tomorrow? Then maybe I got to say, stop it. Don't go. Right? I mean, it's It's what it's doing to us. We rest. All right, so we stop working, we rest. The third thing we do is we worship. We focus on God. The Sabbath is holy to the Lord. It's set apart to be available to God. And so we do that. We worship and we focus on God. We often do that together. That's why one day doing it on the same day helps, because we get to gather together for worship. We get to assemble together. In Leviticus 23, it says, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly, a day of gathering together with God's people, a day of worshiping together, a day of being together in this way. And Jesus followed this pattern. In Luke 4, when Jesus comes to Nazareth, he comes to his hometown where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He went to worship. And so we do this together. Now, again, some of us are not able to do this together on a Sunday morning. Live stream helps. But there are other ways to do this individually and so on. But the key here is, I think, again, when we worship, we remember and give thanks for God's good gifts. Worship is a remembering of God's goodness. It's coming together. And I just think about some of the songs we sang of God, you know, that I know I can, my soul can be still because I can put my life in your hands. God, I know that you are going to be there. I know that you're going to take care of me. And that allows me to rest. And I think, again, we need to make sure we don't go to worship primarily to be told what to do. Even when we look at the Ten Commandments, it's how we can live in response to God's grace. But it always starts with God's grace and remembering that he's forgiven my sins. And then in this, now how do I live in freedom? Now how do I do this? And I need that. I need that because I just kind of forget about God's grace. I get busy and I think it's all about Ron's work. And I need to just come to church and I need to just spend time, whether it's here or in devotions or whatever, just recognizing that God is so good, that I am not my own, but I belong to him. And his grace is enough. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. This is from Deuteronomy. And look at this. So this is, again, the second time Moses gives the Ten Commandments. And this is one of the changes. This is one of the things that changes is Moses says this at the end of his life. He says, when you, on the Sabbath day, when you gather together, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arms. And friends, when we gather together to worship, if you don't hear and if you are not reminded that God's grace is amazing, that we are saved not by what we have done, but by God's amazing grace, then we've failed. And that worship service isn't going to get done what it needs to get done. Yeah, we want to at the end say, God, I want to love you more, but it only starts and it's got to be rooted in because you loved me so much. Because you are so full of grace. Because man, I can rest in you. That's why worship is important, because we remember God's good gifts. We give thanks for God's good gifts, and we learn about God on this day. It's a whole day set apart, and so part of it is learning about God. Now, again, the problem is we don't keep good balance. So some of us were, and I wasn't, because I think my folks did a pretty good job with this one, but some of you were like, all we could do was read The Banner, which was a magazine from our church, so it was holy stuff. All we could do is memorize catechism questions and answers. Now, again, it's really important for us to say, I need to remember God. I need to remember his grace. I need to grow in my understanding of who he is. That's a key part of it, but it's not the only thing we do on this day. All right, it's not the only thing we do. Yes, we worship. Yes, we learn. Yes, we grow. But again, I think this was, and again, so many of the traditions that we were raised with were rooted in good things. I mean, this is, I think, where a lot of the no TV came out. Now, again, things have changed. My dad used to call the TV the idiot box. And it's not like you are really young. You don't understand. See, we didn't have good shows like the Kardashians or you know, like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So we didn't have good TV. And so it's kind of, and it, but if you think about it, it's like, hold on, I spent 10 hours watching this. Did I reflect on who God is at all? Again, there's a balance thing here, but it wasn't terrible what they were trying to accomplish with that, right? It was trying to say, let's make sure we have time to learn about God. Let's make sure this is a day for him. We don't just do what we do all the other time. So we worship God. We focus on him. Stop, rest, worship, the first three. The fourth one is probably the one that we did the worst with. And the one that we don't always think about. But the fourth thing, and I think it's clearly scriptural, and I'm only going to show you a little bit of it, but part of what we're supposed to do on the Sabbath is enjoy. Is to enjoy God's good creation. To enjoy the work that he has done and the work that we have done. Again, Exodus 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day." And the image there, and again, most Bible teachers agree with this, the image there is not just that God then went to heaven and sat back. No, what happens is that God went down and he enjoyed his creation. What God did on the Sabbath day was to go and look at all that he had made and just enjoyed it. That's part of that rest, is enjoying that creation. When the Bible talks about entering into eternal rest, it's not talking about an eternal nap. If you read Revelation 21 and 22 again, you'll see that there's all sorts of stuff we're going to be doing in rest because we're going to be enjoying. Andy Kuivenhoven is a pastor. He passed away now, but in our denomination. And in talking about this, he gave an image that I found really helpful. And I want to share it with you. He says, you know, here's what it's like when God rested on the seventh day and what we're supposed to do on the Sabbath day as well. When a person works from May to August constructing a swimming pool in his backyard, Sabbath arrives on the day he and his friends swim in the pool. Right? You get done and you jump in and it's beautiful. This is good. That's Sabbath. That's rest. That's enjoying it. You work 6 days and then you enjoy it. You work 2 months and then you enjoy it. That's Sabbath. Kuivenhoven goes on and says, "The work is finished and behold, it is very good. And when God's work was finished, he rested. He enjoyed his creation." So, in a sense, I mean, the whole swimming question, figure it out yourself. But in some ways, it's like, what if we actually saw Sabbath as, man, I'm working all day so that Sabbath we can have a great day. I'm working all week so that Sabbath we can just be with friends and family and swim and enjoy. Now, that's not the only thing we do on the Sabbath. Like I said, there are four things we've got to do. But what if we might start to say, whoa, I'm kind of looking forward to this. Well, this is kind of good. We enjoy God's good gifts. Obviously, I've been thinking about this all week, but I thought, okay, so I'm doing this. And I spend a fair amount of time kind of planning the rest of my day after I get done here working. And it was kind of fun because I was like, oh, man, I'm going to just, Kaylee and Tim are going to come over with the kids. Jake and Rachel are living with me now, and Jake's our youngest. And so it was like, okay, how are we going to have this? All right, and so and I'll come back to how we're going to do it. But part of what we're going to do is just enjoy God's good gifts. That's food and drink. It's music. It's friends. It's family. It's beauty. There are just so many good gifts from God to enjoy. And that's supposed to be part of the day as well. To enjoy the fruits of God's labor and of ours. It's a day of, and again, I don't want to be snarky with this, but it's a day of jumping in the pool. It's a day of saying, oh, God, we've worked well. Now we rest and relax and enjoy. Thank you. Now, you don't do it selfishly. You don't do it overdoing it. You try to remember as best, and maybe this is part of what makes it holy. It's remembering especially that these gifts are God on the Sabbath day. When we do that, we say, and God, thank you for this good gift. We bless you. So we enjoy God's good gifts. All right, those four things. Again, stop, rest, worship, enjoy. And I want to challenge you to say, this is what we need to be doing. Aren't you glad I said that's the long one? Why does God give us this command? The fact is we get messed up if we don't take a Sabbath. And I'm going to go through this very quickly, but we forget God's grace. I've already touched on that. Remember that you were slaves. Remember that God brought you out. I tend to forget that I'm saved by grace. I tend to forget that it doesn't depend on me. I tend to forget how amazing God's love is. I tend to forget how secure I am. And so part of the reason I need this Sabbath day is to just say, oh, that's right, God. I am your child. I am loved. We forget about God's grace. We think it all depends on us. We start to think, well, if I don't go to work, it's going to fall apart. It doesn't, friends. It doesn't depend on you. The world is going to turn even if you aren't able to make it turn yourself. Okay? And part of the Sabbath is to teach us that. Is to teach us that it's okay. We think it all depends on us. We think it's all about us. And on the Sabbath day, I say, oh, that's right, God. It's not about just me. It's about you. It's about all these other people. We end up running on empty. Friends, we just get messed up. All right. So, how? Let's close with this. And I've got three things I want to close with here. How might we do this? First thing is, and I've said it a lot, but remember that the Sabbath day is supposed to be a gift. I want to suggest that if Sabbath day is the worst day of the work week for you, you're doing it wrong. I'm doing it wrong. It should be the best day of the week for us. However we do, it's a gift. God didn't do it so that we would be limited, so that we wouldn't have any fun on this day, so that we would realize he's Lord and he doesn't want us to laugh. No, he wants us to have joy and to worship him and to rest and to stop working. So remember that it's supposed to be a gift. The second one is really important for some of us, but accept that it'll never get done. I'll never get it all done, and that's okay. Last night, I looked and I said, oh, you know what? I really need to clean this. And I thought, who are you kidding? Kaylee's kids are going to make a mess of it anyway, so who cares, right? And it's good enough, and it's never clean, okay? Your house is never completely clean. You are never perfect. You never, so just give yourself some grace and say, this is good enough. If you love to cook steak, cook steak. If that's a burden this week, then do the soup thing. It's okay. People would rather be with you than have just your gifts and not you. And then third, plan ahead. Plan ahead. Think about, okay, what, and I would use those four things. What do I need to stop? What do I need? How am I going to rest? But plan ahead. As I said, I've been doing that. And so, you know, yesterday I went and we got casseroles to put in the oven. They're already in the fridge. They'll get put in the oven this morning. We're going to have a salad and we're going to have bread. And I got ice cream treats. But I was shopping yesterday and I thought, oh, but this would be good. Oh, but Noah would like this, or Daniel would like this, or Kier would like. No, you know what? It's got to be good enough. And I said, we're going to just try to, so plan ahead. What do I need to do so I can stop working? Maybe some of us need to turn off our phones. Blasphemy. What if you said, you know, from 2 to 4, from noon to 6, my phone's off on Sabbath day. How will I rest? Like I said, 3 o'clock today, nap. How will I worship? Focus on God if I'm not going to come to church here. How else might I do? What else might I do during the day? And how will I enjoy God's good gifts? Hopefully, if it's not raining, by watching kids swim in the pool. Plan ahead. In some ways, again, part of the joy, and I don't know if I'll be able to keep this up, but I've been looking forward to this afternoon more than I have any Sunday afternoon for a long time. Not because it's going to be a lot different, but because I just know, and paper plates, by the way. Sorry to the environmentalists, but today is a paper plate day because I'm not doing dishes. But because I'm just, you know, excited about being with the grand. And then I know I'm going to be taking a nap because Kaylee and Tim are going to be gone. And I'll probably do a crossword puzzle. I like to do those, New York Times. And on, well, whenever I do it, I don't call it cheating, but I look at answers when I need to. Otherwise, it's too much work. But, you know, I mean, so do those things. Okay, we got to finish this up. But, friends, God created us to love him, to love each other, and to enjoy his world. And he created the Sabbath so we would take the time to do those things. He gives us these good gifts. We say, I'm too busy with my other stuff. I got to do this. I'm not ready to open that. Friends, God's grace is amazing. We are saved by his grace through Jesus Christ. It's going to be okay. Stop rest, worship, and enjoy. Let's pray together. Father, this gift, we keep turning it into some legalistic thing of yes, we can, no, we can't. Give us hearts that seek to do what you call us to do on this day. And give us wisdom to know how best to do that. Father, sometimes we get out of balance on these things. Sometimes we get out of balance on enjoying it. But whatever it is, Father, give us a good balance, a good way of stopping, resting, worshiping, and enjoying so that we can be refreshed, so that we can know that you are God and we are not, and it's all going to be okay. And so, Father, we praise you because of who you are and of what you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.